Charles Wesley, who is one of the founding personalities of our denomination, wrote a great hymn about the day of the ascension of Jesus. It's called "Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise." It may well be the only Ascension Day song any of us have ever heard, if we've heard that one. And it has a couple of verses in there that are worth keeping close to our hearts today. "Hail the day that sees him rise to his throne above the skies, Christ a while to mortals given, reascends his native heaven." And then the third verse reads, "See, the heaven its Lord receives, yet he loves the earth he leaves. Though returning to his throne, still he calls the world his own." This week we celebrate the ascension, the day that sees him rise to his throne above the skies. Technically, Ascension Day proper was just this past Thursday, which marks the 40th day after Easter, just like we heard from Acts this morning that Jesus, quote unquote, presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Lawrence Stuckey, who's a United Methodist professor of worship, laments that Ascension just might be the most misunderstood celebration on the Christian calendar. He cites someone else's complaint that, quote, "Most contemporary Christians think the resurrection and the ascension are just a kind of two-stage rocket. The resurrection gets Jesus up out of the ground, and the ascension launches him up into outer space." If that characterization has any truth at all to it, then they would be right about at least one thing. Somehow, some way, what we're reading here today does have something to do with Easter. Somehow these events are part and parcel of one whole. Somehow their themes are related. Through the Easter season this year, I've been preaching quite a bit on the theme of God's presence. How do we open our eyes to see him? How do we make hearts ready to understand what it is we're seeing? How do we sharpen our gaze so that we can take notice of him when he's present to us, both in the simple, everyday sorts of places, as well as in the harder ones? If you look for very long at this picture up on the screens this morning, this is that picture I mentioned by Jorge Coco. It doesn't take too long to see what's being depicted here is somehow drawing us to think again about the presence of Christ. Maybe Charles Wesley, that hymn captures it best. "Though returning to his home, still he calls the earth his own." There's a great tension that's held before us on ascension that's articulated nowhere better than it is here in our reading from Acts for today. On the one hand, Christ is leaving his apostles just standing there, gazing upwards into heaven, it says. On the other, he leaves them with the promise that soon the Holy Spirit is going to come on them with power, and that they'll be able to take that presence with them, and they'll go out far and wide as witnesses to the very ends of the earth. It's a great exchange that's taking place here. Presence in exchange for presence. Will Christ's apostles learn how to exchange presence for presence? Ascension is the resurrection becoming unconfined. Ascension is when God begins to widen the work of Easter in preparation for Pentecost. It's when God moves one more step toward finishing what he started, to bring back from the dead not just one single individual body, but the whole of a fallen creation, though returning to his throne. Still, he calls the world his own. In order for that to take place, his presence will need to be felt not just somewhere, but everywhere. Out there in the world in a thousand different mission fields. That's where the apostles are being called to take it, to Jerusalem and to Judea and then to Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. How do we take with us what we've been given here in this somewhere out into the everywhere? That's the question of Ascension Day. This week especially, it's rather difficult to miss where those mission fields are calling us. This week being Memorial Day weekend, one is quickly reminded of the many wars whose wake we live within. It's hard not to remember the many lives that have been lost and that many will pay respects to on this weekend. It's hard not to call to mind those who continue to live with those losses. It's hard not to be reminded in general about the broken state of our world, even today. When you and I, as Christ's disciples, find our way into this weekend to pay our respects and memorialize those lives that we have lost, will we do so in a way that just romanticizes war? Or that implicitly glorifies the loss of God's precious gift of life? Or will we do so as people who see it as a reminder of where God's presence is still needing to be made known, as our mission field, where these broken hearts and these broken ways are still calling out for mending? Christ's mending. Holy Spirit, mending. Over the past couple of weeks, we've watched as the reports roll in about two new mass shootings in our country. One, a pre-planned act of racial hatred and paranoia, reflecting the heightened tensions of our times. The other taking place where we send our kids to learn. Two completely random acts of massive violence, massive losses of life. Parents and children left reeling by the children and family members who were one day present and the next day just gone. If you and I are commissioned to bear our witness, to carry God's presence out everywhere, what would it look like to carry it there, I wonder? To them, to those hurting, to this place, to our country where these things are happening at an alarming and escalating rate. This country of ours that we have right now, this is our mission field. This is our mission field that you and I have been sent to. What will we carry out there? What will we say? What will we do? Do we have any witness to bear here? Can we bear witness to Christ's transformative and ongoing life even here if we're too afraid, too timid, too immature in our faith to say, yes, the kingdom of God does have something to say about racism and about gun violence and about the loss of innocent life? Remember that as our scripture says this morning, Jesus spent that 40 days teaching his apostles all about the kingdom of God so that they could take it out with them and bear witness in the world. And as you and I are called to go out into this mission field of ours right here at home, yes, Yes, we take God's restorative and healing presence with us, but we also bring that vision of what God's kingdom has established among us, of his better way. We arm ourselves with words of healings and with the truth of what ails us. The two of those go hand in hand. Here is a mission field that cries out for presence in so many ways. For presence, recovery, companionship, but also a turning away from hatred and ignorance and toward God's kingdom of righteousness. Jesus tells the apostles in Luke today, it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. All of them. It's a kind of confession of faith. He's saying here, he's died and he's risen. Now go out and repair the world. Go out and repair the world. And the repairing, you see, is interlocked with the rising. Take his presence out there. Restore. Repent. Turn away. Forgive and heal and bring new creation to life. It's a ministry of reconciliation and restoration we've been called to. Back again to Wesley's hymn, though returning to his home, still he calls the world his own. His life, his presence for the world aren't an empty sentiment. It's about transforming and restoring the very shape of creation, making it right, making it whole and good again. This week in the life of our church, we suffer a difficult loss. We lost a beloved member, a beloved bell choir leader, a beloved sister in Christ. It was unexpected. It's hard to walk through. And yet here we are, claiming that promise today, even here from where we stand. Christ, let your presence be known in us so that walking as we walk here today out into the mission field with all that we carry, would you teach us what it is to carry that presence that sustains us now out to those who need that sustaining, just like we do. So many places to go. So many places to carry his presence. So many places in need of transformation. The space out there is wide open for transformation, wide open for you and I to carry the witness to God's restoring life in Christ, wide open and ready, yearning even for the new life that began at Easter, to stop being so confined to somewhere and start being real and present everywhere. Everywhere. Next week on Pentecost Sunday, we're going to join together in one service to worship as we celebrate the birth of the church in the giving of the Holy Spirit. But it's worth remembering now, today, that the birth of the church isn't like any other kind of birth. It's not just a day to remember or to commemorate something that happened way back when. It's not just a day to have cake and sing songs. The birth of the church is the day that the Spirit has made us alive with fire. With fire. The day of power that sends us out into the newly constituted people of God to breathe new life into our world, to go out there into the mission field, even to the ends of the earth, as ambassadors of God's living presence. That's spreading. That's catching fire, that's transforming our world and making all things new. God can do that in us. God will do that through us. Ours is just to open our hearts to it, to be transformed by it, obedient to its lead, and to take it out there to the ends of the earth. Ours is a call to carry his presence here from the somewhere out into the everywhere. And all of God's people said, Amen.